Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Nurse Betsy Show. My name is DeQuasia Canales. I'm one of the vice presidents and 1199 SEIU here in Florida. And here with me today, I have Betsy Marvel, an RN organizer on our team. We have a special guest, Kara Cook. And you may also hear from Desiree Taylor, who's on our communications team. So, Betsy, go ahead and start with us. Why are we starting out a Nurse Betsy Show for our union members who are nurses here in Florida? The floor is yours.
Oh, thank you. This is exciting. This is our first podcast. And what we're doing is we have a special place for nurses and other healthcare workers to come and learn about education issues, current issues, like we're going to talk about today, climate change, and how they can get involved locally and nationally if they need to. And we hope they enjoy it at the same time and have some fun.
Thanks, Betsy. And so just in case you all are wondering, I know many of you may have received a text message or a phone call for Betsy and other folks on our team. Betsy was a bedside nurse for over 30 years. I first met Betsy when I was working for our international union in the early 2000s, when she was a union member and delegate when her hospital became organized back in the 90s. And then Betsy for the past 10 years has worked directly with 1199 SEIU, and she works on expanding our nurse membership, our leadership and activism, not just in our work sites, but also in our communities and nationally through our SEIU Nurse Alliance. And so we thank you, Betsy, for starting this program. You'll be hearing about different topics, as Betsy said, every other month. And so I'm going to bring it back over to Betsy so that she can talk to you and tell you about our special guest for today.
Hi, my cat is yelling in the background. I'm really excited to introduce Kara Cook. She is a nurse and program director, director of programs for the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments. And in that role, she leads the ANHE and environmental health programs to engage nurses, nursing organizations, and the profession in advancing health advocacy, education, and practice change. And she has quite a resume. She represented high-risk patients in patient care medical home programs. She's been a critical care nurse in medical and trauma ICUs, and Kara holds her master's degree in community public health nursing through the University of Maryland. I met Kara many years ago at a Nurse Alliance conference where she had a presentation on climate change and its effect on health and why nurses should get involved. And it is the first time I ever thought of climate change in the related to health issues and why it affects nursing. And you know, nurses are, every year we win the Gallup poll as the most trusted people in America. And so that's quite a responsibility. So welcome, Kara. It's so good to have you on our first podcast. We have used the ANHE information on their website, on your website, to educate our nurses and our staff. And the first thing I want to ask you as a public health nurse, what are your thoughts about the relationship between COVID and what we've been through and climate change?
Well, first, I just want to say thank you so much, Betsy, and the 1199 team. It's so great to be your first guest on your podcast. I'm so excited for this initiative. And that's a great starting question, thinking about the connection between the pandemic and climate change. And I think there's a couple ways to answer that. The first being, a lot of the root causes, not that there's necessarily a link between climate change and the coronavirus, but the root causes in terms of how we care for our environments as humans are very similar. For example, deforestation in loss of habitat is contributing to some of these vectors living closer to humans than they ever did before. And so we're likely going to see a lot more of those that jump from animals to humans and kind of the spread of vector-borne disease. And that's the same thing with climate change. Deforestation and loss of habitat is contributing to excess carbon in the atmosphere, which is contributing to climate change. And then the second piece of that is the response that we can have. I think during coronavirus, we realized how underfunded our public health infrastructure was, and that's been going on for years and years and years, which really hindered our ability to be able to implement measures right away so we could really reduce the number of infections and the people that were harmed during the pandemic. And that's really kind of almost like a sneak peek into what, you know, unchecked climate change can contribute. If we're not prepared for the health impacts of climate change, we will see a lot more harm than is really necessary.
It's kind of the first shot across the bow if we see how a country and how the world reacts to a threat. And then why should nurses learn about climate change? That's, you know, a lot of times nurses say, I'm not really political. I don't know what I can do about it. I do my job every day. It's enough. Why should they be involved?
Yeah, and that's another great question. And it really has to do in that climate change is having real health impacts now, and will have health impacts in the future. And as nurses, we need to be able to prepare communities, work with patients that will be impacted by these environmental and climate changes. And we need to know how to do that within our nursing practice. And we're not often taught about the impacts of the health impacts of climate change in nursing education. And so right now as a profession, it's really important for nurses to become more aware of how climate change impacts health and to kind of understand their role in being able to address climate change. And then another piece of it is that healthcare is a polluting industry itself. I think it's a little less than 10% of greenhouse gas emissions in the US. And so there's a lot of room for nurses to be really leading initiatives within the institutions that they work for to start implementing some of these initiatives that reduce greenhouse gas emissions, that promote local foods, that promote active transportation and improvements in public transportation so that we can not only be healthier people, but we are also, you know, reducing our environmental footprint.
Yes, it's always struck me when I was working in the hospital of how much food's discarded, how much water is wasted. And, you know, where do you start with that? One of the things we'd like to get active is we have labor management committees in our hospitals. And I think that would be a great project that both the administration and the employees can, you know, the members can do together to improve it. And I know there is a website, Healthcare Without Harm.
Yes, correct. Yep.
And that deals with hospitals and healthcare facilities. And a lot of the work has already been done.
Yeah, there's tons of resources out there. And that's kind of what our role serves as an organization is helping to connect nurses to those existing resources. And we also have a really amazing group of nurses who are working across the country on various initiatives. And we're always happy to connect nurses, you know, across the country, across the world to kind of, so you don't have to start fresh. You mm-hmm. can kind of have some mentorship and see how it's been done in other places and then adapt that for your healthcare institution.
Right. It's always good when someone else has gone ahead.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a complex system, but in Florida, we have huge freshwater problems, which is probably some, and it's even related to what comes down the Mississippi River. It comes over to our West Coast. We have the lake that, I don't know whether you know about this, but they get too much water in Lake Okeechobee. They're talking about it now, how much they're going to release both, you know, east and west, and it just completely ruins the ecology of the estuaries. And, you know, we've had big fish kills and manatee. It just seems we have on the East Coast blue-green algae blooms, which is toxic. You can get dementia breathing it in. And on the West Coast, we have red tide. That is killing fish, and it's actually irritating to breathe it in. Do you know what other communities have done for things like this, or is it just something we have to, as nurses, get the statistics and make it public and work against?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, and you're so right, Betsy. Florida is, see, you're on the front lines of climate change. You all cannot ignore it because it's right in your face. You're living it every single day. And so I think there's a mixture in terms of what nurses can do. If you're working in a health department or a healthcare institution that's going to be caring for patients impacted by some of these water issues, kind of really understanding what are the interventions, what are the preventative methods to be able to protect people. And then I think another big area is nurses as advocates. I know you all have a lot of challenges in terms of the political will and getting Florida to move forward around some of the climate solutions. Although I would say there's work being done, perhaps it's not being called climate solution. So that's really positive. And just, raising awareness among elected officials about why these issues are important to address from a health standpoint. And nurses don't have to be experts in, the interventions that can be implemented. There's a lot of knowledgeable people out there, but I think really just bringing attention to these issues are health issues, and we're seeing the impacts now, and sharing, stories from your communities and with your patients.
Yeah, there's nothing more powerful than when it's in your backyard. And so what is the nurse drawdown? That's what I really want to get into, and how we can get involved.
Yeah, and this is a really great resource for nurses, across the spectrum of your involvement in climate change, whether you are just starting out and want to get more involved, or if you've been doing this for a long time and maybe want to take the next step into something bigger. And so what Nurses Drawdown is, it's based off of Project Drawdown, which presents the top solutions to addressing climate change. And we've taken across those 100 solutions, we've looked at which ones we think are maybe most applicable to nursing practice, or we can see nurses really being leaders in. And so we've split this up into five categories, five key action areas, which are energy, food, mobility, gender equity, and nature-based solutions. And so you can visit nursesdrawdown.org, and each of those key action areas, we've listed example actions that you can take, whether it be a small action. So take example for food. Maybe an easier action to get started is to look at, how much food you're wasting in your home, and to try to reduce that. A bigger action in the food category could be, working in your healthcare institution to implementing a composting initiative or a food reduction program. So it's really just a way to kind of build this global community of nurses that are taking action on climate change, and sharing that, sharing those stories and sharing those actions to inspire other nurses to get more involved.
And nurses, still are the majority of nurses are women. And so, and I know one of the things that's frustrating is we don't have initiatives in our high schools to prepare for nursing curriculum. And I read that like 40% of applicants are turned away because they're not prepared academically. So that's, I think that's a goal, is if you're going to be on a nursing track or a healthcare track, to make sure they have access to the adequate education, and especially for girls, because we kind of hit that wall around junior year, senior year, where people think we shouldn't be in technical, we don't like math or tech, and I think that's hopefully changing, but I think that was one of the surprising things I saw in the Nurse Drawdown was, and Kurt, that climate change can be affected by educating girls.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really interesting to see how interconnected climate solutions are with solutions just to address, the public health challenges that we've been facing for years and years. And that, yeah, that really stands out in that gender equity piece, in terms of how really educating girls, empowering women and girls, and some of the family planning aspects can have impacts on climate change.
Even I know programs like Nurse Family Partnerships, who are for high-risk first pregnancy women, have transformed communities in just keeping the moms in school and giving them support and keeping dads interested and active and support them. So you never know what domino you're going to affect.
I mean, that's such a great point, Betsy. I think a lot of nurses might not realize that you're actually working on climate change with some of the work you're already doing. And so that's really cool to see kind of the gamut of actions that nurses can really do to address climate change without necessarily, speaking of climate change, particularly if you're in an area where it's a little bit more challenging to say things like climate change or to talk mm-hmm. about these issues.
And just even that we've seen so much problems with people losing their jobs with food, not having enough food. And I know it takes a little while, but DeQuasia, our host, can tell you she has a mango tree that feeds everyone. a couple more. In Florida, we can plant fruit trees.
Yeah,
that can feed people. And I know that a lot of research says, and part of the drawdown is to move to a more plant-based, it's healthier to have a higher plant-based and fruit and vegetable-based diet. So in Florida, just planting a couple fruit trees in the long run can help.
Absolutely. And in that instance, you have so much more control over where your food is coming in, that food sovereignty piece coming in. And that's so important. I live in Baltimore, so we have issues with food insecurity. And one of the programs that we've been working on here is actually doing community gardens and getting healthy foods out to communities and really helping communities to kind of build that resilience and take ownership of the foods that they're eating and knowing where it's come from, which is really, really powerful.
I remember my mother talking about, she was, born in the Depression. And when World War II came, her father had a victory garden and everyone was asked to plant gardens in their backyard just to help with food. And it makes a huge impact when you have that ability, even if you have a small area, you can even do it inside. So that's what's really, so how do we get involved in Nurse Drawdown again? You go to your website?
Yeah, go to nursesdrawdown.org and you can sign up. You'll receive a monthly newsletter with kind of stories of what nurses are doing, as well as ways that you can take action. And we also ask you to post on social media with what you're doing in the Nurses Drawdown area. We have a Nurses Drawdown Twitter. Okay. So just make sure to tag us and share what you're doing so we can help amplify your work.
I even read recently that if you are exposed to trees after surgery, you heal up better.
Yes, there's so many mental health benefits to green spaces and interacting with nature. It's really amazing.
And I think people think, what's planting one tree do, right? But if 1,000 people plant a tree, that makes an impact. And it actually cools down the area, right?
Yeah. For big cities, and Miami is one of those really hot cities, right? At certain times of the year. And so, green space and tree cover can have a really big impact in helping to reduce that urban heat island effect that is so common in some of these bigger, hotter cities.
I even saw in I think it was Brazil, where the supports for the highways, they were putting up plastic matrix and putting vines.
Oh, and wow.
Not only does it look pretty, but it's cooling, it's cooling off the area. And heat really came to the forefront this year with Oregon and people dying of heat. And here in Florida, we have, we have farm workers. And there was a study, I believe it was Emory, nursing students, and they showed that there's a lot of kidney damage in farm workers every single day. And that's alarming. And then we've actually had kids die on the playing field, with sports. And as we heat up and we get these higher days, it's very scary.
Yeah, absolutely. And thinking about too, for people who don't have access to air conditioning.
Right.
You know, that's a major issue. If you can't open your windows during the daytime for whatever reason, you know, never being able to really cool down. I mean, that has tremendous health effects.
Yeah. So a lot of education, and nurses are nurses are good at educating their patients. And especially in Florida. So we really appreciate, like I said, the just thinking about climate change as a health issue was really eye-opening to me. How did you get started with this?
So it was during my graduate program when I was working on public health nursing. I also had a similar experience. But to you, Betsy, I didn't know that this was an area that nurses can work in. I never really thought of, you know, when I heard about the environment, you think about, you know, going out into nature or hiking and stuff like that, but never actually thinking about like, what are the environments that people are living in and how is that impacting health? And so that was a real eye opener for me and really sparked my interest in getting more involved. And that's how I got involved with the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments, because I was seeing so many nurses across the country that were really working on these issues. And I wanted to learn what I could do, you know, within my community and as a nurse advocate. So it was really kind of that initial thinking about climate change and environmental issues as health issues that got me engaged.
And then you got, how did you become the director of programs
after that? Oh, yeah, yeah. So I was very lucky in that I was able to do my practicum experience with the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments, and I was able to be hired on as staff. And I've had just such, again, so lucky to be able to work with such amazing nurses. And really to be able to working with nurses like you, Betsy, who are actually really doing the groundwork, right? I'm hoping to just kind of plant seeds in little places and hopefully have nurses across the country that feel inspired to do more around these issues and to actually implement stuff within your healthcare institutions.
It's a great resource because like I said, when we were putting together the PowerPoint, all the graphics, all the information was on your website for us to use. And that's really helpful when people can have it in a way to look at something and see how one thing affects the other. And it looks professional and it's a great resource. So I think the ANHE website is envirn.org.
Yeah.
Is that right? Envirn.org. We're going to put up some links. I really encourage people to get on it. I'm going to be encouraging our nurses to get on it. You know, it's one of those websites you can get lost in reading a lot of links to things. And unfortunately, we didn't have the time for it, but we postponed kind of, you know, action on climate change because of COVID. And we really don't have the time to wait. And what do you, when I'm looking at my grand nieces and nephews, what do you think their world's going to be like?
Yeah, you know, I like to think about it in terms of not necessarily if what the world will look like if we don't do anything, but what the world could like look like if we take action now on climate change. And to me, that is looking like, you know, we have healthcare access for everyone.
Right.
We have, you know, communities that are healthy and thriving. We have, we're reducing our greenhouse gas emissions. We have access to public transportation. You know, just all these climate solutions that have these tremendous health benefits. That's what I like to think about when I think about the future for, you know, future generations, as well as when I grow old. So
we still want somebody to take care of us.
Exactly.
Well, I think we probably have reached our time limit, but I really appreciate you coming here and talking to us. It's so good to see you again because it's been a while. And I'm going to be working to get our nurses involved in this through their, we have a lot of different ways, just, you know, like you said, planting a garden, planting a tree. And you can do this having some fun with with your kids. And then at our work sites, I think there's a lot of work to be done at our hospitals. I know some of the bigger chains have programs, but we haven't seen, you know, it's kind of like each hospital has to decide to do it. So we will try to be the incentive for that. And we always, you know, see this as an opportunity to grow our union and grow leaders. You never know who's going to step up. And when they do, it's really fun to see somebody who gets interested in, you know, an issue and takes charge and leads others to do the same thing. So we look at this as an opportunity, and we really appreciate you and your leadership. And you know, you can always call on us.
Yes, you all are doing such awesome work, and I applaud your efforts. And I'm so excited to see, you know, where you have come from in the process that you've all done. And it's just so really cool. And I echo you, Betsy, in that nurses are like really well poised to be leaders in this area. We are, you know, we have tremendous numbers in terms of who is the largest, you know, section of the healthcare workforce, mm-hmm. nurses. And nurses, you know, we have such amazing relationships with people, our patients, our communities, mm-hmm. and we're trusted. And so I think we have a really great opportunity to lead and be think. We also are holistic thinkers, we're systems thinkers. Mm-hmm. And so we can bring that perspective to how do we actually, you know, thinking like local solutions, how do we actually implement these into, you know, the different practice settings we work in?
I know former Mayor Bloomberg, he said, the mayors are going to save us. So this is really a local issue. It's not just because I think people think of climate change. They think of, oh, what can I do? It's a global issue, but it's really a local issue. And we can do a lot of work. And so I really appreciate you coming on and leading us. We'll be in touch, and I'm going to try to get as much participation in the drawdown, because having the five different areas that really widens, you know, people's interest and to see what they can do.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's always so fun to hang out with the 1199 folks.
Thank you.
It's been great. Thank you too for a wonderful podcast or webcast for those of you who may join us either way, if you're listening or if you're viewing. And both Betsy and Kara had mentioned that we have a few resources for you. And so we'll go ahead and put that slide up for those of you who choose to look at this visually. And for those of you who are actually listening to the podcast, where we have this on our links on our YouTube and our 1199SCIU.org page, we will also make sure that it's available to you via PDF. And so we'll hold this slide here for just a moment. And as you can see, there are various resources related to 1199SCIU, related to the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments, different projects, as Betsy had mentioned, for examples, if you're inspired to get involved, Healthcare Without Harm, our Nurse Alliance of SEIU, and of course, different projects that have happened with our Nurse Alliance of SEIU as we like to learn from around the country. We thank you again for joining us. We'll hold the slide up for a few more seconds before we go to our closing. Thank you once again for joining us. And Betsy, if they have any additional questions, how might they contact you?
Okay, my email is Betsy, B-E-T-S-Y dot Marville, M-A-R-V-I-L-L-E at 1199.org. And they can email me and I will respond.
Thank you again, everyone. We hope you have a good afternoon, a good morning, or a good evening, or good night. If you're the night shift, when you're, you know, commuting in or listening on your break, we love you too. All right, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you, Kara.
Thank you so much.